Good evening.
Hello there. How are you?
Nice and recharged after taking one hell of a nap.
Now that is the hoodie I want to hear.
Man, you love to see it.
Well-rested, napped hoodie.
Yes, exactly.
Excellent.
And for our international millions of fans worldwide, I'm Odie Rez,
And I'm the mag.
and this is episode 6 of our podcast.
Six.
Got a special topic for all those.
Had no idea you were gonna do that. I love that so much.
Had it loaded up on the queue. I'm capable of a surprise every once in a while.
Love it. And it's a small enough clip, we don't have to worry about copyright.
I was going to ask you. I should have asked you in advance. What do you think the odds of us being sued are?
Negligible.
This is America, after all, where
Yeah.
your freedom to sue is at an all-time high.
Yeah, and the odds of getting sued over, or I think if you use a clip that's only like 3 or 4 seconds long, no one's gonna care. Even the owners of the song, if there are any.
Good.
So, yeah, we're doing an episode on money. Gotta admit, this one was my brainchild. So we're gonna be doing things a little bit differently this episode. Most of the time, we pretty much just take turns saying, "Hey, this is my experience with this." We take a break, and then the other person takes their turn and says, "This is my experience instead." And yay or nay, I agree, I disagree, blah, 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 blah. Only this time, I did, talking to Hody ahead of time, I said, "You know what? I want to see what you know about money." Full disclosure, I am not a CPA. I am not a CFA. I am not an accountant. I am not certified in finance in any way. Everything that I know and that I can use is entirely surface level, and it is only designed for anyone who is listening to be able to say, "Okay, that's a good idea. This is for entertainment purposes only. This is not. Because we actually know what we're talking about. This is solely surface level and just what we both happen to
It should be
know."
stated that most of the time I have no idea what I'm talking about, so.
That's good. So the good part is that you admit it.
Oh yeah, I'll be the first one to tell you I'm a big dumbass,
That's okay, I am too.
but I come here to get enlightened.
You're welcome. So, the first question I want to ask you about your finances, and I'm pretty sure my follow-up is my second question and is going to be necessary. What's the first thing you do with your paycheck, and what is the first thing you're supposed to do with your paycheck?
Well, first thing I do is pay off bills since I've got them recurring at the 1st and the 15th of every month.
This is true. Okay.
What I should be doing, I'm gonna take a stab at it and say, actually, I should say part of my paycheck does automatically go into savings. Which is what I'm going to say is what I should be doing.
That is about half right.
Okay.
So now, what you do with your money makes perfect sense. Everybody does it. You could be Bill Gates, one of the richest men in the world, or you could be someone literally living on a razor-thin budget with 50 cents left over at the end of the month. First thing everybody typically does, or most people typically do, they pay their bills because it's got to get paid. I need to have a roof over my head. I need to have clothes on my body. I need to be able to eat. I need to be able to drink water. Makes perfect sense. However, you did allude to part of what you're supposed to do first. First thing you're supposed to do is pay yourself. The old saying goes, pay yourself first. Now that is my second question. What does it actually mean to pay yourself first?
Maybe I'm overthinking this, so, but in order to pay yourself, you know what, I'm going to fall back on my OG claim that I know nothing, and I'm sticking with that. I'm a dumbass, please, the mag, tell me. What does it mean to pay yourself?
Very well, Hody. So, as I mentioned earlier, you're about half right on this. You said that you sock away some money for savings, correct?
Yes.
So, part of paying yourself first is having savings. Because the absolute first thing you need to have is a cushion, also known as an emergency fund. Theoretically speaking, you need to have a large enough emergency fund to last somewhere between 3 and 6 months of expenses. Obviously, when you're first starting out, you're not going to have that. But if you've been working for about a year, you should be able to at least start, or you should be at least be close to, if not have, 3 to 6 months in savings in the event that your car breaks or you lose your job. Neither of us really have to worry about that. But some of our listeners probably do have that problem right now. Because last I checked, as of last Thursday, I think it's 38.6 million Americans are currently filing for unemployment.
Great, Google move.
Yeah, that's actually part of why I wanted to do this episode was for anyone who happens to be in that bracket who needs help with that. So like if they're collecting unemployment, they do need to be using that money to build an emergency fund because at the end of next month, the federal unemployment $600 a week thing, that's gone. So yeah, first things first, you have to have an emergency fund 3 to 6 months, and if you're, say, like a business owner or something, this is hypothetical, you would actually need to have like 6 to 12 months in times like this because the lockdown's been going on since middle of March. So, yeah, like that's, like I cannot emphasize enough, first and foremost is an emergency fund. Now, here comes the other half of it that you hadn't yet mentioned or that you hadn't brought up. Once you have an emergency fund, paying yourself first is no longer putting money into savings because you have that cushion. Then paying yourself becomes investing. And the simplest way to do that, you've used Webull in the past, correct?
Yes.
For our listeners, Webull is an investing app. Basically, it allows you to buy and trade stocks for free, no trade commission, none of that. I'm not telling you what to buy, but the best thing you can buy, probably, would be what's called an index fund. It's boring, It has regular growth, it pays dividends, and it tracks basically the income of the Fortune 500 companies. So the more money they make, the more the stock market or the more that index fund goes up, both in capital and how much they pay you. I just went on a long statement that has a lot of information. Basically, what that boils down to, or how to bring that back to paying yourself first, pretty much like once a month, you buy a share of something like VOO or SPY or OEF. Those are tickers, as they're called, that are the index funds themselves. They are SPY and VOO right now. One share of that stock will cost about somewhere between $260 and $275. Why is an index fund good? Because it has stocks in it like Apple, Google, Amazon, Facebook, Twitter. Basically, all of the biggest companies in the world are combined into that index fund. Amazon costs, or if you were to buy a share of Amazon, that would cost you like 1800 bucks.
Oh, no thanks, sailor.
Yeah, nobody's buying that. So if you buy something like VOO or Vanguard S&P 500 Index Fund, that's why I keep saying VOO. That's a really long name to say a bunch of times.
Yeah, please just stick to VOO. Save yourself some time there.
I will. So, like, you buy something like VOO, 275 bucks, 1800. I'll take the one that I can afford.
For
And
sure.
plus, and on top of that, when a company becomes weak and is no longer a Fortune 500 company, they drop from the S&P 500 and are replaced with another company that is successful. So, yeah, basically the easiest way to pay yourself first, once you have that emergency fund, is to, like, once or twice a month, buy one to two shares of VOO and just continue buying forever until you are legit ready to retire. And there's another old saying, the best time to start buying is 10 years ago. The second best time is today. So basically, once you start, then that money builds and builds and builds. That's a lot of complicated math I don't want to get into. But basically, once you get to retirement, you should have enough to be able to retire on by just drawing out or withdrawing approximately 4% of what you have in the fund.
Okay.
Yeah, so now one of our listeners may be asking, well, how do I do that? As I mentioned earlier to you, Webull, they've been advertising like crazy. WEBULL. I know I kind of slur that word a little bit, so I figured I'd spell that one out.
It's well, it's not your fault. It's kind of a silly sounding name. To be fair, oh God, please don't come after me, Weeble.
Yeah, I mean, that's not the only trading platform that you can use for free. There's also Robinhood, which is the app that I currently use, and I buy shares once or twice a month. There's also M1 Finance, which M1 Finance is actually really good because they allow you to buy partial shares. So, like, an index fund costs $275. I don't know the exact trading price. That's just the number I'm using. well, if you have only got $100 at the end of the month, or if you only have $100 to pay yourself once you factor all of your expenses, then using something like M1 Finance, you can put just $100 into it and it will buy that partial share for you, and you will still have a piece of that index fund. Another one, they used to have trading fees, but they don't currently. They actually got rid of it about 6 months ago. Charles Schwab. They just created an app so that you can do that. And then another one is Fidelity. Now, fair warning on Fidelity. Buying index funds does not cost you anything. But if you were to do what's called day trading, which is like I buy a stock or I buy one share of Google stock, then the next day I sell that share at a $5 profit, Fidelity is going to charge you a fee for that. They don't like day trading. So now, as I alluded to just a little bit through my incoherent rambling, I mentioned if you've only got $100 to invest, this brings me to my next question. Do you have a budget?
I'm historically one of the worst when it comes to budgeting.
That, my friend, is something that needs to change.
Yep.
Now, this is twofold. One, you need to create a budget, and two, you need to follow that budget, which that requires sacrifice, but it is what it is, and that's the whole point of having it. That way, you can put at the top of your budget list, this is what I'm paying myself, this is what's going to savings, or this is what's going to my investments. This is first foremost, this is what I'm doing. And then the next one down is rent. And then the next one down is food, electricity, my phone, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know if, or are utilities included in your rent?
No, they're not.
Then obviously that's going to be on there.
Oh, yeah.
Now, another method of paying yourself first. Yeah, simple question. What is an IRA?
Gosh. It's one of those, damn you, why not, it's not simple.
It's a retirement account.
Yeah, thank you. Individual retirement account.
Yes, it is.
I knew the acronym. I just needed a little help.
That's okay. So one of the ways you can use to pay yourself first, like 90% of businesses will offer an IRA. Sometimes it's a 401k or a traditional 401k, as it's called. Sometimes it's a traditional IRA. Other times it's a Roth IRA. Anytime someone offers you a Roth IRA, take that. But sometimes they don't offer that, and you have to go for either a traditional IRA or a 401k. If your company, or say your company says wants to match up to 3%, what does that even mean?
So, to my understanding, which I hope my understanding is right, that would be matching a percentage of retirement based on how much you're making per month. So if you make I mean, this is not a lot, but it's easy math for me. If you make $1,000 per month and you were to invest 5% of that, that would be $50 a month. And if the company matches to 3%, they would match $30.
Yes.
Yes.
Took you a while to get there, but you did get that right. So basically, it's matching contribution. So like you take that percentage of your paycheck, $1,000, and you want to put in 5%, like you said, they take $50 out. When you see your paycheck, you see $950. You don't see that $50 because it will be on the check itself somewhere else, but you won't see that $50 because that is automatically being put into your IRA or your retirement account, regardless of the type. And if, like you said, the company matches up to 3%, they will give you $30 and put that into your IRA for you. So that is literally $30, which you did not have to pay a penny for. Now, if you don't use, or now if you contribute 0%, the company will not put in any money for you. If you put in 2%, they will match only 2% of that. But the more you put in, the more they will match up to the point where they said, here's our cutoff. And in this scenario, 3%, $30. And do you know where those IRAs put their money?
No.
Index funds.
Ah.
Sometimes they do bonds. But, yeah, most of the time it's just index funds.
So, say you're, as I used a while ago in an example, you're running on a razor-thin budget. You've got 50 cents left at the end of the month. How you're living off that, I don't know. But say you've got 50 cents left at the end of the month. You're barely making ends meet. You're paying yourself first is 50 cents. Is that really going to be enough to be able to retire when you're old?
Unless you're living in some kind of third world country, no.
Even in third world countries, that's a hard bargain. Realistically, what you're going to have to do, you're either going to have to pick up a second job, or you're going to have to pick up a side hustle. So, question for you. Do you know any examples of side hustles that you can do right now?
Could get my happy ass in my car and start delivering for DoorDash, Postmates, Uber Eats, whomever.
Today, in this climate, in this environment, that is a perfect side hustle. Don't try to live on it, but that is a perfect side hustle. Now I'll try to think of something else. Like, think if times are normal.
Normal.
Yeah, like, you were really close to what I'm alluding to with the last one.
It's been forever since I've seen normal.
That's fair.
In regular normal times, I would say just being a human delivery driver. Oh, that sounds weird, but
yeah, that's what I was getting at.
Lyft,
Uber, Lyft. Yes, that is exactly what I was trying to get you to say. That is, by definition, a side hustle. Again, don't try to live off of that. unless if you're in a very low cost of living area. But as a rule, that is a side hustle. And basically, you can take everything you make off of that, put it in index funds, or use it to pay a bill that you don't have anywhere else to pay or any other means to pay for. Other examples of side hustles, I'm going to use a term that I honest to God wish I would have heard 15 years ago. Passive income. Do you know what passive income is?
In my mind, I do.
Can you explain it?
Probably not as good as you, but let me try. Passive income, basically things that you can do where you don't have to actively see the money being made.
Sorta.
When I think of passive income, I think of some of these weird apps where you basically just watch ads on your phone and get paid like a penny per ad.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and explain it.
Thank you.
Okay. So there's active income and there's passive income. Active income is you go to work, you do your job, you get paid by the hour, you come home. And the work you did while you were there, that's how much you get paid. From the time you clock in to the time you clock out. Passive income is not at all like that. Like, you make money at any time where you basically don't do the work. Or you did the work to start off, and it continues to pay you long after you've done the work. So as I was mentioning stocks earlier, if you put in $1,000 into an index fund when you're 18 years old, and you don't touch that money, you don't put in anything else, you don't take out anything else. I think it's after. So I'm using a resource called The Money Guy for this information. When you retire, that money would then be worth $88,000 when you retire. Because the capital and the dividends are still paying you, even though you did nothing. That is passive income. One of the most famous and prolific authors of our time is making passive income all the time. Stephen King. He wrote a book. He's written several books. He did all the work to start. Once those books got published, the work was done. He is still making a ton of money off of both the book, The Shining, and the movie, The Shining, because he owns the rights to those. So he's still getting passive income from that, even though he hasn't worked on that in 40 years.
Nice.
Real estate investors. That one's a lot more complicated. But basically, you own property. Someone pays you rent to live there. Unless if you're doing maintenance, that's passive income. Like, you're not doing anything. They're just paying you to live there. What we are doing right now, this podcast, it is technically a form of passive income because we are recording the episode now, but even after we've recorded the episode and released it, we are still getting paid approximately a penny per listen. So that is technically passive income.
It's good
you did make.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a good thing we've got quite a few listens. We're making bank here.
Right? Another form would be YouTube. A YouTuber I follow is Graham Stephan. he does a lot of personal finance stuff. He's a real estate investor, so he gets into that vein quite a bit, but he also does like different like reactions to different budgets that are put online, different videos. CNBC does a lot of investment videos, so he'll do like reaction videos to that, or he'll tell you, hey, this is how you can do things with credit cards. Well, he did those videos, and those videos are still making him money because people are still watching them. You kind of touched on this earlier. The ads that are in his videos are still paying him, whether it's before, during, or after. So like that is, so while there is an active component to things like YouTube and podcasting or TikTok, it is still technically passive income because it still pays you later. So yeah, those are different. So like that is like the absolute basic surface level, absolutely have to do things in order to be able to set yourself up for financial success. Now, I believe at this time would be a good time for us to go to the break.
It sounds like a capital idea, my friend. We will be right back.
Woohoo!
And thanks for sticking around. We are back.
Woohoo! So I went ahead and reviewed my notes a little bit. That way I can tell. This one I don't think as much. But I really wanted to emphasize just how important it is to understand the basics, a little bit of how you can earn income from the past, what you can do in the future, what you need to do if you're at the very, very beginning, or if you're building up a little bit. What I'm going to be talking about now is just simple questions. There's not a lot here that I really need to go too in-depth on. But the first one I really, really want to talk about. So, Cody, what do you know about pensions?
To say not a lot would be a severe understatement. That is to say, I know nothing.
Well, that puts you in a regular group. Why? Because pensions now basically don't exist.
No.
So, roll the clock back 50 years. When someone would retire, they had about three different streams of income when they retire. They would have their personal savings, they would have Social Security, and they would have their company pension. Well, companies would offer pensions if you work for them for 20, 30, sometimes 40 years. Well, a lot of those companies started going under and they couldn't afford to pay their pensions. So over the last 30 to 40 years, companies have completely stopped giving pensions. I mean, even the government, they'll do that government match now that we were talking about earlier. But the military pension, that's gone.
Aww.
Yeah. I mean, unless if you did not opt out of it, which I didn't opt out of it, but it's not going to help me at all because I'm getting out next year. But pensions as a whole, they're almost entirely gone. So that stream of income, most people cannot rely on that. This was a stat before the lockdown began. And my source on this is the Minority Mindset. 69% of Americans could not afford a $1,000 emergency. So, if you were to If you were to retire based solely off of your personal savings alone, how are you going to retire? And what's more, you would retire broke with no income, so you would just have to go back to working, but a different job. Then there's the third stream of income, Social Security. What do you know about Social Security?
Well, to my understanding, Social Security was created by FDR to
True.
supplement, or not supplement, but basically allow older folks or those who are unable to work to receive a monthly income. Maybe I'm not on the money there, but if there's one thing I keep hearing, it's that by the time I'm of retirement age, I probably will not be getting a Social Security payment.
So, you definitely got some hits in there. It was founded in 1935 by Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Because they were in the middle of the Great Depression, the idea was to give a regular paycheck every month to senior citizens age 65 and above so that they can stimulate the economy, spend money, try to get businesses going again. That was the whole point to it. Well, the practice itself never stopped. Only most of the funds that were saved up are being dried out. I've seen multiple sources and CNBC, Graham Stephan, the Money Guy, Minority Mindset. I've seen other sources as well, but those are the ones that I can say for sure I've seen this statistic. And I really want to emphasize my sources on this. Either 2034 or 2035, Social Security will no longer have enough money to pay what it owes. Now it
Ooh.
will not, now it's not going to go away because people are still paying into it and will continue to pay into it. However, it will have collapsed under its own weight within the next 14 to 15 years. It is still a form of income. If you were to live in a very low cost of living area in this country, say like Kansas or, like Upper Michigan, where the cost of living is far lower than it is most everywhere else, then you could theoretically live on Social Security. But if you live in somewhere like Seattle, Washington, or Miami, Florida.
Or God forbid, Maryland.
I thought you were going to say San Francisco for a moment, but Maryland too. Then you're going to be lucky if you can use that to pay the rent, if you rent. So that's why before we went to the break, I really wanted to emphasize passive income, really wanted to emphasize index funds. That way, you still have that consistent income stream even after you decide, I'm done working. I cannot do this anymore. Now, there are a few things about Social Security I left out, like when you can start drawing out, penalties if you take it out before you're 59 and a half, or before you're 66 or 62. You get the full benefits if you pull it out at 70, but by that point in time, our benefits will be negligible if they are still there. So the next thing I really want to get into debt. How do you calculate your net worth?
Let's see. The money you have in the bank minus all the things that you owe plus give or take some other things that I can't really think of off the top of my head. And bam! Net worth.
Close.
Yes.
It's your assets minus your liabilities.
We're using big words.
Yes. Assets is a lot easier than it sounds. You're right about your account. However, it's not just the money you have. It's also the things you own. Your vehicle. How much furniture you have is worth. If you own a gun and it happens to be of some value, if you have antiques that have been appraised, like if you were to go into, like, or if you're to try to collect like food stamps and whatnot, they would actually want that information.
Interesting.
But yeah, so it's the value you have of all of your assets. You subtract that from your liabilities. Different things you owe, your, or if you're still paying off your car, if you're paying off your house, if you have credit card debt, all your assets minus that, or everything you own, money and possessions, minus all of the things you owe, you have debt on, equals your net worth. It's amazing how many people need to know that. But so I mentioned that the next thing I want to get into is debt. Is there such a thing as good debt?
I would say in theory, yes, comma, however, I'm not educated enough to tell you what good debt could be.
You're right. There is such a thing as good debt. Now, this one is a really tricky subject, especially over the last year when it's really caught attention. Student debt. Student loan debt. If you chose a career that pays enough, or at least will pay enough, that when you go out into the workforce, you will be able to pay off that debt, then that student loan debt will be considered good debt because you used financing from another institution so that you can better your life. So, like, if you were to take out a Sallie Mae student loan or whatever student loan will pay for law school, and you become the type of lawyer that does, like, lawsuits and whatnot, then you will pay off that $300,000 law school debt. My source on that $300,000 is Legal Eagle. It's another YouTube channel. Whereas if you were to take a student loan out for art school, you're probably not going to get your money back. Because while what you do may provide an emotional service, you're probably not going to get your financial money back.
No.
In which case, that would actually be considered bad debt. Most of the time you'll hear people say buying a car is just bad debt, which I get. But if you were to, going back to the side hustles earlier, if you were to buy a car with a very or with a very minimal APR, so that you can use that to do Grubhub or Uber or Lyft, then you're leveraging your debt for a purpose of making you money. So it actually would be beneficial. If you were to take, or so, the one good debt that people typically like to talk about is owning a home. If you own your own home, if you come into money problems, you can leverage your debt on your house because you build equity in the house as you're paying it off. You can use that to take out a mortgage on the house if you need to. Now, if you can't pay that back, then the bank is going to repossess your home. But if you can pay it back because of what you did with that mortgage, then that is considered good debt. Then the last, there's a ton of different forms of debt. But the last one I want to touch on is credit card debt. There's no reason to have credit card debt. So, like, do you have a credit card?
No, I do have a credit card.
How often do you pay off that credit card?
Not nearly as often as I should.
When people try to make only the minimum payment, they will never get out of credit card debt because they're not paying off what they use the credit card to buy. And credit cards, even if you have great credit history, best you're going to get is like a 17% APR, which is annual percentage rate, which is what is charged if you don't pay off the credit card in full. Yeah, so absolute minimum, a credit card needs to be paid off, or your credit card needs to be paid off every month, paid off in full. That way, the credit card company cannot charge you interest for using your card. And if you do that, then it actually builds your credit score, because you're being responsible with your money.
All right.
But yeah, credit card debt in this country, along with student loan debt, has gotten so out of control. That's why a lot of financial researchers or market researchers are expecting another crash in the stock market, because the debt bubble is about to burst.
Oh, no.
Yeah. This brings me... Now, there's one other specific thing that I really want to talk about, and that is savings. So since I did the bad with the debt, I want to go into the good with savings. If you were to get a savings account, what would your APY be, and what is APY?
You ask me questions you know I don't know the answer to.
That's why I'm asking them.
You bastard.
Hey, you need more.
Annual percentage yield.
Yes.
Now, what does that mean? I don't know. I just pulled words out of my butt.
It's okay. I mentioned APR is what a loan or a credit card will charge you on interest to have debt. APY, or annual percentage yield, is what a bank will pay you in interest just for having a savings account. And in very rare scenarios, a bank will pay you to have a checking account.
Hmm.
Yeah. Now, the national average APY for a savings account is 0.09%. Meaning that at the end of the year, if you started with $100 in your savings account, at the end of the year, you'll have $100.09.
Wowee.
Yes. Only inflation is about 2%, meaning that the cost of goods and services in this country goes up approximately 2% per year. It's not always that exact number, but that's a rough estimate. Meaning that the value of your money, if you were to keep it in a savings account that paid you 0.09%, you're actually losing value on your money. So a lot of people don't realize that when they set up their savings account, their emergency fund, which it's good that they're doing that, but when they do that, they don't look at the APY. So they'll go to somewhere like Bank of America, which actually pays less than that, and they end up losing value on their money. There are a few banks that do pay more than that. Right now, you're not getting 3%. It's just not happening. You're not getting 2% right now. Because of the economic situation right now, which is way too complicated for me to explain in 5 minutes, inflation right now is basically like a flat zero.
Woo.
I mean, after enough time, it will go up. But right now, it's not exactly a flat zero, but it's not far off. I'm still not recommending Bank of America savings accounts. They don't pay anything.
Noted.
There are a few banks that do continuously and regularly pay well on savings accounts, that being Ally Bank. Right now, Capital One is paying pretty well on its savings accounts. What's the other one? Marcus by Goldman Sachs. That's the other one that is paying pretty well. And right now, they're paying about 1% or 1.25%. So they're actually staying at or above the rate of inflation.
Hmm.
I've been using Ally for about a year and a half. When something called the Fed decides to raise interest rates, meaning that they'll pay out more for giving out treasury loans, which is a whole complicated thing, certain banks will pay more on their savings accounts. Ally is one of them. But when the Fed drops their interest rates on, like, treasury loans and whatnot, then banks like Ally will drop their rate basically to match what the Fed is doing. Right now, the Fed's dropped their rates down to literally 0%.
Wow.
Ally, however, like I've been using, they are paying 1.25%. If I'm not mistaken, Marcus by Goldman Sachs is also paying that. It might be slightly more. I don't know. It might be 1.3%. But certain accounts, it doesn't even mean anything to have it. Because, like, Betterment, Wealthfront, basically those are just cash accounts. They drop their rates down to, like, 1/3%. Credit Karma had savings accounts, but I'm barely paid anything now.
Oh, man.
So basically, that's like the one last thing I really want to touch on is when you go to create an emergency fund or a savings account, or you're building a separate account because you're saving for a vacation or you want to buy that truck. There's that separate account, or you want to have enough of an interest rate on that account that it's worth it. Now, I know I really dominated this episode in this one. Is there anything that you really want to bring up that, like, you would want to ask me?
You know, I hate being put on the spot. You know, I hate it.
Hey, that's perfectly fine. We talked about this ahead of time, and we knew that I was going to be doing pretty much the whole episode this way.
Well, I really appreciate it. And this was an eye-opener for me. I hope it's an eye-opener for at least one person who decides to randomly find us on any platform available. Now, I gotta be honest, I can't think of anything right now.
Okay. I mean, if you think of something, we can do a follow-up episode, or if one of our listeners wants to ask us a question, I'd be more than happy to answer it.
No, believe me, you really would be happy.
Yeah, I mean, or they just want to call us idiots. That's fine. Like I said, I am not a professional, so I'm just a random podcaster.
And I'm just a guy who pushes the buttons.
Hey, the world needs button pushers too.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, you sure did open up my eyes. That was great. I can't thank you enough for volunteering to enlighten us with, but you know.
You're welcome.
And I guess that will conclude today's episode.
Excellent.
I'm Hody Rez.
And I'm the Mag.
We'll see you next time.
Cheers.